Money isn't just about spreadsheets and budgets. It's about psychology, identity, and freedom. Being good with money has nothing to do with extreme frugality or mathematical genius. It's about feeling in control of your finances rather than controlled by them. This mindset works regardless of your income level or debt status. The truth is, someone earning $40,000 who understands their relationship with money will likely be in a better financial position than someone making $100,000 who doesn't. What would your life look like if you woke up tomorrow miraculously good with money? How would you feel? What would change? This visualization connects money to what truly matters in your life, beyond just numbers in an account. Financial wellness isn't about restriction. It's about using money intentionally to support your best life while preparing for your future. It's about freedom, not deprivation. While women gained legal financial autonomy, our attention was deliberately diverted from financial empowerment to appearance and consumption. The $946 billion wellness economy is just the latest iteration of a familiar strategy, convincing us something's wrong with us, then selling the solution. This conditioning damaged both our self-worth and net worth. When our focus is directed toward weight, appearance, and fixing ourselves, my money naturally flows in that direction. Expensive products promising miracles that never deliver lasting results. This creates a vicious spending cycle that keeps us financially drained while distracting us from building real financial confidence. Beyond direct costs, these impossible standards affect our careers and earning potential. Women are paid less than men, yet expected to spend more maintaining impossible standards of appearance. If you've spent more time wishing for a thigh gap than building savings, it's not your fault, but recognizing these influences is the first step toward taking back control. Remember when shopping was considered a legitimate hobby? Many of us spent days at malls as teenagers, channeling Cher from Clueless or Rachel from Friends. Women in TV shows were typically portrayed as financially reckless, like Lily from How I Met Your Mother with her secret credit cards, while male characters' extravagant purchases went unquestioned. These shows never depicted women navigating the gender pay gap, budgeting, or financial planning. Money in fictional media defied logic. Sex and the City would have been entirely different if Carrie's finances were remotely plausible. These portrayals gave us false understandings of what normal salaries could afford. This disconnect between media depictions and financial reality created a generation unprepared for actual adult economics. When we couldn't afford the apartment, wardrobe, and lifestyle we'd been led to believe was standard, many turned to credit cards and loans, setting ourselves up for financial struggles. Our generation faces unprecedented consumption messaging infiltrating every aspect of life. We live in an age where thoughts become social media posts in seconds, products can be purchased instantly, and we expect immediate satisfaction in all things. E-commerce has eliminated the friction between us and consumption. Our homes are no longer safe havens from spending. Temptation follows us everywhere. Payment methods have evolved from checks and cash to facial recognition and one-click purchasing, reducing the pain of paying and creating psychological distance from our money. Buy now, pay later services exploit our anchoring bias. When a $100 purchase becomes four $25 payments, our brains anchor to the smaller amount, making larger purchases seem more affordable. Retailers make more money with BNPL as more people complete purchases and spend more on average. This obsession with immediacy wasn't something we demanded. It was created, then trained into us. We've become uncomfortable with any delay between desire and fulfillment, directly impacting our finances as we're unknowingly trained by systems designed to make us spend more money more often. Beyond external conditioning, we face another barrier to financial success: ourselves. Money gains meaning through our emotional interactions with it, explaining why logical budgeting systems often fail. They assume we're completely rational beings. Our primitive brain was designed to conserve energy, stay with the pack, and use resources immediately, not save for retirement. When threatened, our amygdala takes control, shutting down the rational prefrontal cortex and seeking immediate relief. Emotional spending follows 5 predictable stages: attraction, when we notice something and craft fantasies about it; flirtation, where we see applications in our lives; euphoria, when dopamine peaks in anticipation; doubt, as dopamine wears off and reality sets in; and finally, truth, the realization that the purchase didn't deliver the transformation we imagined. This pattern applies to countless purchases where we believe items will transform our lives or solve problems. Understanding this cycle helps us recognize when we're being led by emotions rather than making decisions aligned with our true values. Let's build a money ecosystem that makes being good with money effortless. We'll use a top-down approach where your income sits in an imaginary cloud, drawn down for different purposes according to a set routine. Start by identifying essential expenses using expense streamlining, transforming variable costs into standardized, predictable amounts. This makes financial management dramatically simpler. Subtract these streamlined expenses from your total income to find your workable total, the gap between what comes in and what goes out. This number represents your financial flexibility. A common mistake is neglecting saving until it's too late. Instead of promising to save whatever remains at month end, there won't be anything, prioritize saving before discretionary spending. Split your workable total between spend and keep channels, but be realistic. Overcommitting to saving can trigger sabotage behaviors. Compartmentalizing your money allows you to build anything you want into your budget, making financial management enjoyable rather than restrictive. Create specific compartments that reflect your values to build emotional connections that maintain motivation. You don't need to stop buying things you want, just things you don't want. Values-based spending means rebuilding a financial perspective that honors your true self rather than who you're trying to be. To identify your financial values, imagine showing items representing your best purchases. Analyzing why these were meaningful reveals patterns in what truly adds value to your life. Extract specific words from these experiences to form your personal financial values. Values are deeply personal. What's valuable to you might seem wasteful to others. The goal is discovering how money can enrich your life in ways that feel right for you. Being good with money helps you earn more, keep more, and make your money work harder. While it doesn't fix systemic inequities, it builds financial confidence. Wealth isn't about greed, it's about choices, from buying premium groceries to choosing fulfilling work or helping others. This transformation develops over time. Find balance by caring about money without obsessing over every dollar. You deserve to feel value from your money, trust yourself with it, and use it to build the life you truly want. Financial freedom isn't the destination, it's the journey of reclaiming your relationship with money.